What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Because you know, like at camps and stuff like this, you take the ball out, you ain't getting the ball back. Like, you the last one up the court, they already did their thing. So I stopped there, and I just got into a rhythm and started hooping.
The Lakers should sign Trae Young this summer.
They got to kind of start preparing for, like, if LeBron's last year is this year or next year, whenever it is. And I feel like a pick and roll with AD and a guy like Trae Young would be deadly.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count for your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
I knew what I had to do. Matt, come get me. I wasn't doing that.
Hey, Jamal be quick to go on a tear and then end up on a dude like, hey, get me for a second. Yep. Give me for a second. We'll switch off real quick. Hey,
welcome into What's Burning. I am here with, oh man, we got Matt Barnes, Steven Jackson, and fresh off All-Star Weekend, Jamal Crawford. Oh, that's dunk contest judge Jamal Crawford to all of you. Welcome.
The man
thank
himself.
You. Thank you, blessed thank us. You, thank you. Nah, y'all blessing me. I'm with three legends up here.
Hey, man, between AAU coaching, I see you in L.A., the next night I see you on TNT, then the next couple of days I see you at All-Star, being man of many hats.
I'm taking the Matt and Snack booklet and trying to follow the blueprint.
Yeah, man. Hey, Showtime, Matt can't talk. He barely got time to shoot our show.
Matt's the busiest man in show business. Exactly. Rachel is such a legend. We just so happy to see her more.
Matt's got like 8 blueprints. So if you're following the Matt blueprint, you've got to gather them all up because he's got like 9 or 10 going
We're going to get it though.
Jamal, you had never been a judge before, right? What was it like?
Rach, I had never been to All-Star before. So it was crazy.
No
for me
way.
Even going. I promise you, I always felt like I should be there if I deserved to be there. And when I didn't make it, I just never went. I wasn't going just to kick it. So,
wow.
Yeah. So the fact I got asked to be a judge, you know, that was pressure, but then I was like, I'm going to embrace it. I'm just going to enjoy the weekend. And to answer your question about what it was like, it was great. I felt like I was on path until somebody on the other end, I ain't going to say no names, started doing his thing on the scores table. So I had to juice up the scores a little bit to average out the young fellas.
Hey, Ma, what was it? I saw you took JJ. What was it like to have your son enjoy that experience?
You know, it's crazy, and you know this too. Like, he just absorbed everything. Like every single thing, he absorbed every moment. He was watching everything. He met Giannis. And he's like, Giannis, I watched your doc. And Giannis like, what'd you learn from it? He said, to work hard. And Giannis said, that's right, work hard and listen to your parents. But everything somebody told him, you can see him just like the wheels were spinning. His workouts have been totally different after that.
I love it.
I love anyone who says, listen to your parents. I'm all for that. Well, Jamal, if that was your first All-Star weekend, I do have some news for you. They're not all in Utah, so it will get better.
You know what, Rich? I had nothing to compare it to. So for me, I was like, all right. I had to do like 9 different things. So I'm like, all right, let me just go from place to place. And my son was good, so I was all right. And it was close to home. The flights to Atlanta had been killing me. So the fact it was Utah, I was all right with that.
Yeah, and it sucks, Rach, for you to say that. It hurts my heart to say that's your first time because you definitely deserve to be there multiple times in your career. It sucks to even hear that.
Bro, I had those 10 moves. I was going to let go. Like, they were going to be crazy if I ever got in that game.
Well, I'm glad that you got the dunk contest experience. I will say, I saw this wave about the dunk contest, and I need you to put it in perspective for us, because afterward, Magic Johnson tweeted, Mac McClung personally saved the dunk contest with his performance tonight. Shaq said the same thing on the air with you guys. LeBron said afterward, he said, McClung is now up in dunk contest history with Vince Carter and MJ. Was it really at that level for you guys? Because it was fun. Oh, wow. I was in the building. But that level? Really?
Well, Rach, the bar wasn't really that high from what they were coming off of last year. So I think that's where everybody's excitement is coming from. But nah, not Jordan and Vince. We can't be prisoners of the moment with that one. Like he was good. He was really good. And it was exciting in the gym. But, you know, the bar was really, really low. So he had a great dunk contest. But those guys are like two of the best dunkers ever. Like it was.
Yeah, Matt is solid, man. We had Matt in the Allen Iverson game. He's a great kid, man. I've always been rooting for him, and he's a dunker, bro. That's what he does. But I don't put him on the level with Zach LaVine and Gordon. Like that dunk contest was on another level. So I definitely don't put him on the level with MJ and Vince. But for saying he saved the dunk contest this year, he definitely did that. The best move Philadelphia did this year was sign him to a 2-way contract.
Oh, man. Great idea.
So he could participate in this slam dunk contest. I'm glad they did that. I'm happy for Matt because he's a great kid. And he works hard.
For sure. He seemed like a great kid. It's crazy because when he got rolling, I looked at Dominique. I said, this was like what you and MJ did in Chicago. He looked at me like, oh, he said, man, you better. I said, you're right. My bad, Nick. My bad. You're right. Hey, the spirit moved me. My bad. My fault.
That is some recency bias.
Hey, you was in the moment, fam?
I was in the moment, fam. I took the scorecards and put up 100. I was in the moment. But he definitely brought me back down to life.
I mean, I'm very, he does seem like a really nice kid. That cardigan he was wearing the next night was amazing. You know, I'm glad that it was, and again, it was fun. It was fun being in the building for all that, but I am surprised at the wave of, oh my God, this is incredible. Because you point out, he's not actually even in the NBA. And I mean, they signed him to this 2-way just a couple days ago. He's going right back to the G League. He made it the G League partly on sort of his YouTube dunk highlights to begin with. And he's turned into a really nice player. Is the dunk contest, should it just be that from now on? Should it just be like dunkers dunking and like not really NBA players so much? I mean, what direction are we going here?
They don't want to do that, Rach. They don't want to do that because it's some guys on Instagram called the Flight Brothers.
Yes.
And they'll make it so unfair where nobody can even get in this dunk contest. So they don't want to do that. I think they need to make it straight NBA players, because if they open up that can, Rachel, it's going to get ugly and NBA players won't have a shot.
He's right.
Well, NBA players aren't really participating anyway, though.
Facts.
I mean, like, what's happened? What are we doing here?
But can I ask you guys this? Wouldn't you want to see, like, a one-on-one tournament? 6'4 and lower, 6'5 and taller. Put up $5 million. I bet you everybody would jump in, and let's get the weight classes going. Let's see who's – we ain't got to argue about Kyrie and Steph, who will win, or Kyrie and Dame, or Tatum and KD. Pound for pound. Let's see who's who and what's what.
Hey man, you doing big things over there, TNT. Make that happen. Hey, we're gonna sit the dunk contest out this year. We're gonna play this one-on-one tournament. Cutthroat.
Well, Matt, let me ask you guys, do you think people's pride will get in the way, their brands and everything else to be scared of if they lose?
I mean, that's the reason why I feel like guys are, or maybe it's not cool enough, but the dunk, yeah, I think a lot of pride and ego goes into what guys are doing that weekend. Definitely now.
That's why I don't think the one-on-one will work, Maul, because they too scared to compete in the games. And the main game that everybody want to see him compete in. You heard what Kobe said. Man, this game's supposed to be competitive. Everybody want to see the top guys go in and have a high-level pickup game, right? And that's it's got away from that. Even Jaylen Brown was like, this is a glorified layup line. I want to play basketball. And he was one of the guys that's hurt. So for one of the guys that's wearing a mask with damn near broken eye socket or whatever he's dealing with,
yep.
And want to go hard in an all-star game, what about the guys that's not hurt? So, you know what I'm saying? I wish we just got back to a competitive game.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. Like, when we were growing up, seeing Kobe against MJ, like, that's what made the all-star game what it was. You had the best players in the world going at it to separate who's who and what's what. Now it's like, you get your dunk, I'll get my dunk. That's boring. Like, and it's actually kind of disrespectful to basketball, if I'm being honest. Like, that's not.
Okay,
that's
but
not
y'all
it.
Are players. What could the league do to get the players to be competitive, right? Mike Malone afterward called this the worst basketball game ever played in history.
I don't think the league can do anything to cut you off. Yeah, Rachel, the league can't do anything. The league can't do anything. It's going to be up to the players to decide. It's going to be up to a star to push the, you know, like set the tone. Like,
you can't even get players to play games, Matt.
You know, exactly. Like Ja or Luka or Tatum, one of these next up-and-coming superstars, I feel like really has to be like, yo, check this out. This is what we're doing in this game. We're not going to disrespect the game. We're going to play it hard. We're going to play it the right way. But as far as the league, there's nothing the league can do about any of this. It's going to be all whether stars start participating in the dunk contest or guys play hard in the all-star game. It's always going to be up to the players.
That's what I said, Matt. When the very, very best players set the tone, like, yo, we're not coming in bullshitting. Like, we're going to get it right from the start, and you come with that mentality. Mm-hmm. Like, it's named after Kobe. What's the best way to honor Kobe but to compete? What are we doing?
Yep, agreed.
Thanks.
All right, so, but how do you get that to actually happen, right? Because you got guys, even in the game, like you said, Jaylen Brown, he's willing to go at it. How does that actually happen? Does it have to be like a Kobe? Does it have to be one of those guys, and there's no other way to get it going?
It's gonna have, like Matt said, it's gonna have to be the biggest night. It's gonna have, like Braun and those guys are gonna have to set their tone. They're gonna have to come in with their energy because you know what, Rach? It's gonna have to be the two captains, basically. You know, the guys that's picking the teams. And I really feel this to give him his props. I feel like if the Greek Freak wasn't hurt, he would have came with that energy because he played like that everywhere.
Yes.
I mean, look, I still like watching the best players in the world all be on one court. You look around on those nights, and it is pretty incredible. We did see Ja get a ton of love over the weekend, the fans really reacting to him. We saw the fans really reacting to Luka a lot, too. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, Jamal, I heard you talking recently about the love for Luka's game. You were saying how well-deserved it was. But what caught my ear is you were asking, where was all this goodwill for James Harden during the Houston days? And I wanted you to explain more where you see the parallels between the two guys and the different reactions, though, you've seen to them.
I'm so glad you asked about that because they killed me the next day. I'm like, are y'all not seeing what I'm seeing? I'm not saying they're the exact same player, but the style of play, the way they play is almost identical. It's like one's left hand, one's right hand. They have the ball. Their usage rate is way higher than everybody else's. There's other guys just standing around them while they do their thing. They step back. And I wasn't dissing Luka whatsoever. I love his game. Luka is cold. But my thing was, people say, oh, Harden won MVP. Yeah, he won MVP, but don't forget, it was frowned upon. Oh, you can't win that way. Mm-hmm. You can't play that way. It's not basketball. But with Luka, it's like we've embraced it. And we should, but give Harden his love too, because he was doing this and the numbers he's doing, he has 60-point triple-doubles. They went to the Western Conference Finals. So it's very, very similar. Luka's younger and all that, and he has so much room to improve, and I get it. This isn't just about Luka. It's more so about let's give Harden his love because he was doing crazy, crazy numbers at that time. Not just winning MVPs, but actually doing numbers, and people were kind of, you know, some people crowned him, a lot of people frowned upon what he
did. Hey, people with the NBA had to change rules because of James Harden. He had mastered the game. He had outthunk the game, and he was one of the toughest matchups in the history of the game. You know what I mean? He was strong. He was quick. He was smart. He could great shooter, great free. I mean, they had to change the rules. You know, I mean, they had to change the free throw rules because of James Harden mastered the game. So I agree. Like, obviously not same players, similar styles, but numbers definitely reflect similarities.
And they both are great players. Excuse me, Ray. They're both are great players, but just like Kobe said, that's not winning basketball for neither one of them. I don't care who doing it. It looks exciting. You love watching it. They're going to be looking like the top players in the league, but it's not winning basketball, and that's what it boiled down to.
Well, I mean, that's why they wanted to get someone in with Luka, right? To your point, you can't, when you have one guy and you're depending on him that much, you can't win a championship. I don't know if Kyrie's going to be that guy. I think there's got to be a little bit of a style difference issue. Luka's a little bit more layered when he, I mean, usage rate is obviously just as high, but his attack is a little bit more layered. I think with James, some of the sort of, you know, dribble, 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 the way he would attack being so consistent. Is that part of why the reaction is a little bit different? Because I voted for James for MVP that year unequivocally. Like, I had no issue with that. I thought he absolutely had an MVP season. And I was always surprised that there was sort of more of that negative spin on what he was doing.
Yeah, I think Lucas is more layered, but I think it's still similar, though. It's still very similar. Like, it takes a special person to play with a guy like that because you have to be comfortable with, like, you know what, I'm not going to get the ball as much. Or if I do get it, I'm getting it off of all the work they've already done. I think the love for Luka in the comments is basically that he's younger. Well, yeah, he's younger, but their style of play is very, very similar in the way they're thinking the game and how they're breaking down the game.
Well, look, it's going to be interesting to see the Kyrie-Luka combination. We also got some other new team formations because the buyout market's still going on, even though we don't have games back up yet. Jamal, it's funny. To get bought out, you have to be making a lot of money to begin with. So it says something about the quality of player you were. You were bought out once. What is that whole experience
like?
We got guys going through it this week.
I thought I walked away from them. I was bought out. Okay, my fault.
According to our intrepid research staff.
That's the same thing. That's the same thing, bro.
He said I thought I walked away.
Yeah, I thought I walked away. Now, I think at the end of the day, you're willing to give up some money for happiness. There's no price on peace of mind. And if you feel like there's a team out there who'll let you be you, who'll let you go and you get back to the whatever level you feel like you were at, it's worth it. And so for a guy like Russ, for example, I bet he's happy as hell because he's like, you know what? I'm going to a team that's going to embrace me. They want me to be me. And whatever I gave up on the back end, I'll get that back, but more so I'll get my respect back. And I think that's the type of mindset you're in when you're going through things like that.
I think what makes what makes that interesting, though, is obviously we'll get into the detail about the Russ situation. But from what I was told, Russ and LeBron live across the street from each other, like across the street for real. Like he's on the other side of the street from what I heard. So how interesting is that going to be if that's true that, you know, shit, he's gone now, but he just went down the hallway to L.A. and Russ is that's going to be an interesting.
Do you think that they both go out and get the paper in the driveway in the morning? Is that what you're saying? Yeah, envisioning?
They definitely cross some paths.
Yeah, interesting 4th of July hang outside with all the family time. So that's going to be fun, man.
Hey, but Matt, wasn't like Russ over LeBron's on 4th of July before they even became teammates? Like they were
blowing big cigars.
Yeah.
They kicked it tough. Yeah, I just kind of wonder, you know, this is a little off talk, but like as it's going on, like to me, it kind of seemed like, and I could be wrong, that Bron was the one that was recruiting Russ. You know what I mean? For Russ to be a Laker and all this kind of stuff, because, you know, you hear from DeMar that DeMar thought he was going to be a Laker. So fast forward to this whole situation and kind of, you know, you expect it from the media, you can expect it from the fans. But then I wonder what Russ was thinking when you know, Bron's like, you know, with the whole Kyrie thing, he's just like, damn, I thought you wanted me here. But it just shows, you know, what kind of business this is. Obviously, you can't fault Bron because at the end of the day, like this is his legacy. He's leaving. You know, he wants to go out on top. So if he feels like someone else can come in and give him a better chance, you know, that's the move he's going to make at this point of his career. But I just wonder kind of, you know, Russ doesn't speak much, but I really just wonder what's going on in his head when he's just hearing all this shit like, damn.
Well, I like for him personally, bro, I was so happy because I said before, I'm like, the Lakers' issues is way bigger than Russ. That's low hanging fruit.
He's a scapegoat.
Like, he's a scapegoat. So the fact I've never seen somebody in the same season get his respect back the way he did with their home fans. You know what I mean? Like with their home base because they were booing
that's
him.
That's tough to do.
Don't shoot. At home. Like this is
that's
really home. This ain't like we go play in Philly and they're doing that. Like this is home for him. So but it's I think, hell. Yeah. It's hell on the court and off the court.
I think Jack, you know, I think Jack said something in a post yesterday where he remained silent though the whole time, no matter what he went through, what he heard. I mean, that's the one thing about Russ. Every single night he shows up.
And then you got no disrespect. You got people reporting, oh, he was a vampire in the locker room. Like, let's not keep dirt on his name. Let's not do that. Like, you can feel how you feel and everything. Like, we all know stuff that we would never say. You know what I mean? Especially when somebody's gonna have to try to get a job. We all knew Russ was gonna get a buyout. Like, that just wasn't cool to me.
Hey, we seen it done before though. They did it to AI. They did it. Yes. They did it to a lot of the guys that we love that were stars. You know what I mean? They when they get to the careers and they're not marching to the beat they want them to, or they have a bad game or a bad year, they automatically write them out and forget about all the years of Russ averaging triple-doubles and where he stand, you know, in basketball history. They forgot about all that. But we didn't as players, so it's our job to defend him. Yes. Because we have had bad years. Mm-hmm. We've been in those positions where the fans and everybody against us until we make a shot to make them happy. You know, it's what have you done lately? But at the end of the day, like I said, Russ, I commend him because he stayed solid, stayed a professional, and stayed doing his thing. And I said he was going to the Clippers. I'm happy for him too.
But I also I think all three of us can contest that, you know, it's not about, although it hurts sometimes and we hear everything, it's about what our peers think mm-hmm. about us. It's not what the media thinks about us. It's not what the fans think about us. Yeah. It's how we're respected amongst each other. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I think that's the biggest thing. And I know for a fact, hate him or love him, Russ is respected around the league and always has been.
Exactly.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Welcome to season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. It is 2024, and we're going to get through this together, folks. My campaign promise to all of you here on Next Question, it's going to be a good time the whole time, we hope. I have some big news to share with you on our season premiere featuring Kris Jenner, who's got some words of wisdom for me on being a good grandmother, or in her case, a good lovey.
You know, you start thinking of what you want your grandmother name to be. Like, are they going to call me grandma like I called my grandmother? So I got to choose my name, which is now Lovey.
I'll also be joined by Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, to name a few. So come on in and take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood.
I loved it. Your energy and joy.
I'm squeezing every minute I can for you out of this season of Next Question.
Last question, I promise. You have to go. I have to go. But it's been so fun, and I can't wait for you to hear it.
Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, look, Paul George went out hard for him, right? Yeah. Publicly, especially after all this has been going on. And it's interesting. I had conversations right before the break with some front office people on that team. Paul's recommendation definitely meant a lot to them, but I was told it wasn't enough. That wasn't going to do it entirely. That they were looking for how willing was Russ to accept what they wanted him to do on the court. And obviously with the Lakers, there was a bunch of, is he going to start? Is he going to come off the bench? He obviously did really well in that 6-man role. With the Clippers, they have better shooting. So what they want from him is to drive to the basket, which, by the way, he can still do. He is top 12 in the league still in drives. They want him to push the pace. They want to kick out to the better shooters. Do you guys feel that Russ has the discipline at this point in his career? Because even with the Lakers, once he accepted the role, and we praised him a lot on this show for what he has done this season, he still wasn't great shot selection. He wasn't always making the right decisions out on the court. Do you guys feel that he is up for playing with this level of guys and really doing what they need him to do as a point guard? Because that's the need that they have.
I do, Rach, because they definitely need help rebounding, and he's one of the best rebounder point guards ever. Also, I think he'll love to be in this role because he's wanted, Rachel. The best feeling in any job that you have is being wanted by the people there, right? It's hard to play when you know you got teammates talking about it behind your back, when you got the front office thinking about trading you, when you got, you know, all kind of stuff going on. So it's hard to perform like that. But when you got an organization and you got star players on the team that want you there, that know what you're capable of, it's going to be easier to buy in. And that's why I say I'm happy for Russ, because it's going to be an easy situation for him to fall into. All you got to do is control the team. You got to get the ball to Paul, Kawhi, rebound, and that's what he's best at.
Yeah, for me, I think he's going to do whatever it takes because his spirit is back. He's like Jack said, his spirit is back. When your spirit is broken and, you know, messed with and you don't know who's who and, you know, like, are they in my corner? Are they not? Are they talking about me behind my back? Whatever it is, he's going to wear such pride. He's going to play harder than he ever has. And he knows where he's at. He knew the whispers of what people were saying. Like, this is going to be a golden opportunity, not only win a championship, to revive his career and put him in a place where he gets the respect he so deserves, because what he's done after the triple double, we never thought we'd see that again. For 3 years. Right. Like, Russ is a top 75 guy without a doubt, but his spirit's back. T. Lou's going to empower him. He's not going to hold what he doesn't do well against him. I think he's going to show up and show out.
That's what I wanted to. I think T. Lou is the right coach for this situation. And, yes. And we praise Darvin Ham because Darvin Ham was the right one to get Russ to buy in to coming off the bench, because there's not too many coaches. Maybe we can name just those two that he really would have bought into and respected enough to come in and buy into that role. Russ is going to be Russ. And I think, you know, Rachel, you said, you know, they're asking him to get downhill, which he's great at, and find shooters, which he's always been good at. So if that's what his ask, and then like Jack and Jamal are saying, you know, this is a second chance. This is a revival. Hopefully he can revive his career because, you know, being quite honest, you know, there's probably not a lot of teams. I think Russ's future is really going to hinge on this next 25 game plus this playoff run, because, you know, there's just once they start talking a certain way about you, and Jack, we could offend these motherfuckers all they want, but the GMs and they start feeling a certain way. I really think this is one of the most critical runs of Russell Westbrook's career if he wants to play beyond this. You know what I mean? So I'm with the rest of the guys. I think he's going to be completely bought in. I think he is going to be an asset to this team. And, you know, with the other moves the Clippers made, this is definitely, we've been saying it all year. I mean, it hinges on Kawhi's availability, but this is the deepest team in the NBA. And they have a great shot of not only coming out of the West, and that's saying a lot with Phoenix and these other teams, but they have a great opportunity to win a championship this year.
Yep. Whoa. Okay. So that's high praise. I was just going to say, look, can they climb up past fourth? Right now they're fourth. They've got the Nuggets, Grizz, and Kings ahead of them. And as you say, the Suns are going to be making a move in this last third of the season. The Mavs would like to be making a move. You think they're championship contenders, Matt?
Yeah, absolutely. With the three teams in front of them, you know, with all due respect to all three of those teams, we have to see it in the playoffs. We've seen, you know, Kawhi's won championships. PG has taken this team to the Western Finals without Kawhi. You know, had lost Kawhi. So, you know, you add these solid, I really love the Mason Plumlee pickup. You know what I mean? Just super solid, big, plays hard, does his job. Eric Gordon's getting another chance. Bone Highlands is a wild card that's probably going to win you a game or two in the playoffs just off dropping 35, 40, you know, possibly 30, 35 points. So, Kawhi's health is going to be critical for this team, but I love the moves they make. And again, I love this Russ opportunity because we are all just such fans of Russ. And I just think he deserves to go out the way he can. And what better way than to really catch fire with this team, you know, sign a 2 or 3 year deal and, you know, finish at home.
All right. You guys backing him up on championship contender? Are you backing him up?
Yeah. Sure. I mean, yeah, you got Russ, Paul, and a healthy Kawhi, and the experience of T. Lou, I give him a shot, Rach, but you know what? Just imagine that. Russ bringing helping the Clippers bring that first championship home. I think that'll be great for him.
Yeah, I like their move. I like their team before the moves. I love their team afterwards. And people forget. Really? Yeah, people forget. Like, Kawhi, we don't see him enough to be like, he's top five. I know in the playoffs, he's top five. Like, he's a top five playoff performer, without a doubt. Like, everything he brings to the table is what you want. Like, Russ is going to bring toughness. He's going to bring grit. He's going to hold them dudes accountable, because players in the locker room look at Russ like we do. So we hold him to the highest standard, and you know he's not going back down. So and to Matt's point, the teams in front of them, I'm not really scared if I'm the Clippers. It's like we can go win a game anywhere with this crew. And like Bones Highland, those dudes are underrated. They can go win you a quarter to get the stars back on track. I love the Clippers and what they're doing.
Like I said, I just think those teams in front, we have to see it in the playoffs. You know what I mean? Sacramento's completely new to this space. You know, Denver, I said before, you know, similar to what the Jazz were doing a few years ago, great in the regular season. We have to see it in the playoffs. And then Memphis. Memphis has done a lot of talking. We got to see wins in the playoffs. Go ahead, Rach.
Well, Denver fans are listening to y'all and they're screaming right now at the TV being like, we made the Western Conference Finals. I mean, this team has had some experience.
Yeah,
they just haven't gone all the way.
They have a shot. They have a shot too, but, you know, they haven't done it as well, Rach. You know, you got the back-to-back MVP, possibly three-time MVP, and you can't get to the finals. Like, so That team hasn't shown anything, Rach, but of being a dominant regular season team. If they show us something this season, then maybe they'll continue to be in that conversation.
But with that said, I do like what they got going on this year. Like, they got everyone's healthy. You know, they got the pieces they feel like they need. So the Western Conference, we haven't even talked about Phoenix. Like, Golden State, you always got to give them a chance because they got experience. It's going to be a battle to come out of the West this year.
Rach, who do you trust more? In a playoff series, if they're matched up, would you trust this new look Clippers team, or would you trust Memphis or New Orleans or Denver?
Oh, I'm trusting the Clippers over Memphis. There it is. Especially with the experience. I'm trusting them. I'm trusting them over New Orleans. I want to see what the Nuggets turn into. I know they're not the popular, trendy pick. I'm blown away by this Suns lineup, and I think that if they can play together and stay healthy, I think it's ridiculous to sleep on them, even where they are in the bracket right now. But I'm not willing to write the Nuggets off. They've got what's going to be the three-time MVP, and they're a good team, and they've been the top seed for a reason. And I don't know. I feel like a lot of people are always like, oh, well, you know, Denver, they haven't shown us that they can do it yet. They haven't shown you can win, but they've got some pretty impressive stuff going on.
They're going to put that three-time MVP in about 75 pick and rolls in the playoffs, though.
Yes.
So they're going to have to figure that out. FYI, their offense is splendid, but that defense, and I don't even play, Rach, I never even played defense, but I'm telling you, I know what's coming. I knew when I had to. Matt, come get me. I wasn't doing that.
Hey, Jamal be quick to go on a tear and then end up on a dude like, hey, get me for a sec. Yep. Give me for a sec. We'll switch off real quick.
Hey, I just hit A straight, but I already know what time it is. Get me up out of here so I can still look good. Don't let him hold against me.
Oh, shit.
What's that like during a playoff game when you feel like that?
Oh, man. I know the whole world's watching. I just ran off 8 to 10. But I know I may give up 6 back. So, let me get a couple fouls. And Matt will come get me a lockup, and everybody wins.
All right, we gotta get our act back together. I want to talk to you guys about Pat Bev signing with the Bulls. That is his hometown team. But guys, he mentioned on his pod he also had a chance to go to the Warriors. And I wanted to read you the quote. He said, it was between Golden State and the Bulls. Obviously, it's always good to play with a lot of great talent in Golden State. But, you know, there's a lot of guards over there. I figured I could make a playoff push with the Bulls right now and kind of pop them up a little bit. The East is kind of weak, he said. He said, I'm excited. I get to take my son to school. I get to take my baby girl to school. I get to pick them up. I get to rep my city on my chest. So there's a lot there. Love that he's home with the kids. Big fan of that. Let's start with him saying, the East is kind of weak. Thoughts?
Man, you know, Pat Bev gonna always throw something out there. You know, he always gonna ruffle a little feathers. But I think the best thing about it is he got a chance to go home, play in Chicago, be with his family. Like you said, pick his kids up from school and stuff like that. We talk about last couple of games matters for somebody's career. He's in this situation too. He's been bouncing around a lot, and you know, he really hasn't been a factor on any team besides talking. You know, so I love Pat's energy and effort and his love for the game, but he's not productive anywhere. And if he gets a chance to end his career in Chicago, if he doesn't play well, it's a good look.
Yeah, I think for Pat, his value really is with young teams. If you're trying to show how to work and how to, you know, be a pro, or teams that are right there in a championship, like really championship contenders, and he can just be a good vet, locker room guy, holding guys accountable. I'm not sure how he fits in with the guys in the middle, with the teams in the middle, you know, and how he provides that kind of value on the court. But for him personally, going home, you know, obviously we just saw the news, Alonzo Ball being out all year. If he can get some minutes at the point guard position, playing off of DeRozan, playing off of Zach LaVine, guys like that, you know, I think that's where he's best suited.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with both these guys. First and foremost.
But it's interesting, Matt. I mean, we've talked about this before. Do you pick at that time in your career? Do you want to go to a place like Golden State, which you guys keep telling me every week still has a chance to win the title, or Chicago, which we all know, I know he's saying, oh, I want to give them a bit of a pop. They're not contenders.
No.
So what do you think of him making that decision?
I mean, I just – Golden State's backcourt is Poole, Curry, Thompson, and I know I'm probably missing some other people. DiVincenzo's been playing well, so it's just like it's loaded over there. You know, you have a chance to go home. And where does Chicago sit? I'm not familiar. Are they middle of the pack? Where are they at right now?
They need a lot of help.
They need help.
Producer Nate, what's Chicago ranked right now? seated? Do you guys know?
They need a lot of help.
And Pat, they need a lot of encore help.
Okay.
They need a lot of
Chicago's 11 right now. I mean, yeah, I get playing time versus not playing time. I get it. But that's the question, right? When you're at this stage of your career, I'm always fascinated by guys who, I mean, Vince Carter was always really open toward the end of his career. He said, I want to go where I can play. He would go on these teams and he said, I know everyone thinks I need a ring. He's like, I don't need a ring. I still want to hoop and play basketball. So it's kind of a little bit of what Pat Bev has decided here. He's going for the minutes. Yeah. I was just curious what you guys thought of that.
I just think his journey's been incredible. You know what I mean? It's been well documented what he had to pay out of his contract to get in the NBA, and he's made some good money. And now at the end of the time, Rich, I think he knows the clock is ticking on his career. Like, why not get up, like, you know, Golden State, although we feel like they have a great shot, you know, why not go home? Why not go home and be that little push that maybe helps them get in the playoffs? No one's saying they're going to win, but be that little, you know, go home and be able to help them make the playoffs. So I'm happy for him because we all know, you know, how much time this game takes away from your family. I mean, that's how I retired my first year into a 3-year deal when I was fortunate enough to win with Golden State, because I just had missed my kids so much and I wasn't getting to see them. So, like Jamal says, I mean, you know, you can't pay for happiness. He's happy. He's home. He's at the crib. And if this is his last team and he can play here a couple of years, I mean, it's an amazing accomplishment what he's accomplished and been able to do in this league.
And then, too, you know, everybody's goal is to win the championship. You know, that was my goal. So some guys come in the league, Rachel, want to make a name for themselves, make some money and get on. You know what I'm saying? I was blessed to win one early where I didn't have to worry about that towards the end of my career. But a lot of guys, you know, I heard it from a lot of guys, don't come in the league thinking they want to be a champion. And that's what separates a lot of people.
What's killing me, though, is the fact that some of these vets is 34, 35, and we're talking about them being out the league. Like,
crazy.
Yeah.
They're needed. Like, where's Melo at right now? Where's Isaiah at right now? Like, all these guys are needed. Like, how can you learn to be a pro and be a vet if you don't have that around you? Like, I call it the Rising Stars game the other day, in the G League game. The Rising Stars team average age was just as young as the G League's team. Like, who's leading who?
Crazy.
It's crazy. So we need those vets. So these guys can have real careers, not just be in the league and make mistakes and not really be able to learn from or be held accountable.
Yeah.
It's with all due respect, it's the blind lead the blind, because these young kids, they never been through nothing. And then if you can't produce on the court, rarely are they keeping you. You know, we can name Iguodala, we can name Udonis, but outside of that, like, vets that aren't giving you minutes or aren't producing, they don't have those no more. But we had talked about this with Charles, but you know, when we all came in the league, there was guys, whether, you know, 36, 37, 38, whether they are playing or being productive on the court, they were just as important off the court.
Yes.
And sometimes they're bridged between the players and the coaches. They're OGs for the younger players. Mm-hmm. There's so much quality, you know, there's just so many good things they bring to teams, but just the league has transitioned out of that. Owners have transitioned out of paying. They'd rather, you know, pay potential than pay, you know, they'd rather pay potential.
Yeah, the CBA is a little different now too. And it was interesting as they sort of get a new one together, whether they're going to correct that at all, but doesn't look like it. It feels like the league is still trending really young.
Yep.
You have some old guys still going places. Kevin Love. Could we call him an elder statesman at this point, maybe? K-Lo?
Yep.
5-time All-Star, Olympic champion, of course, NBA champ. He'll bring a ton of experience to Miami's locker room. Does he change your opinion on the Heat's playoff chances, though? Jamal, what do you think?
Not for me. I think, honestly, they need what he brings to the table. I'm just not sure how much he can give, especially. And we all know Miami's notorious for how they work. From practice, they don't care if you're 10 years in, 15 years in, 2 years in. You're going to work. And for K-Love, a guy like that who's accomplished so much and played heavy minutes all these years, I'm not sure that's a spot I would have went to. I think he could help them win a playoff game, but I wouldn't look for him to help, like, be contributing in the playoffs every single game, not at this point.
I think I kind of think this is a good move for K-Love, because I feel like he feel like he's been resting these last couple of years and he want to give it another shot to win the chip. I think this is a good shot for Miami, because now Bam can be the center and they have a real four that can spread the court and also be big and help rebound. I like Caleb. I think this is an opportunity for him to give what he got, you know, and to see what he got left in the tank. Let me say that for him, because I think he's challenging himself. And this is a great opportunity, because I think he's going to play a lot, especially in the playoffs with that experience, with being able to spread the court. I like K-Love and Bam Adebayo together in Miami. I think it gives them a better shot. I'm not going to say championship team rates, but it gives them a better shot.
I mean, I like what he could bring to the team. I just don't know like Jamal said, I don't know how much he has left. I think he's a good piece. I mean, experience, can shoot the ball, could still rebound, tough, tested, all the things you want in a pickup at this point. But like I said, we just have to see how much he still has in the tank. You know, if he can give them, you know, 20 to 25 minutes and be a, you know, 14 and 8 guy, that's going to be huge for them. But, you know, we'll have to see if that's still in, you know, if he still has it.
Yeah, I thought Miami missed most scoring than anything. Like, I thought they needed another perimeter score, like somebody at the trade deadline, not a buyout guy, but a guy at the trade deadline. We're like, okay, because Jimmy's good with being the Robin. He's good with setting guys up. He's good with being a defender. He doesn't have to be the focal point of an offense. But if Bam, you know, maybe in foul trouble doesn't have it going, or Jimmy's, you know, by same thing, who's that guy besides Hero who can consistently get a bucket when things slow down? Miami plays a slow pace anyway. Like, who's the guy that can go get a bucket every single time or generate a quality look? And that's why I thought they were missing another, like, a true third guy to be that guy in the perimeter.
Well, sometimes when you can't get what you need, you go get what is available.
True.
They did here. I do think the three-point shooting is attractive to them. I mean, this is more of a fit thing with them. What he does is what they need. I don't know if he's going to move them out of where I think they're sitting at seventh right now. It's interesting. The Cavs are in fourth. I mean, it's possible that they could end up either seeing each other in the playoffs or start jostling each other's playoff positioning. So I don't know how that's going to work out, if he's going to want a little dig at his former team. I don't know. Jamal, you recently said you want Melo back in the league, not just in general, but you want him in Phoenix, right?
I do.
We're talking about old guys moving around.
Yeah, I think he'd be a perfect fit for them. Like, the way they'll play, it's not going to be much defense being played anyway. Phoenix is going to be a team that gets timely stops. They ain't locking up nobody. So why not? Because I'm saying that because they're going to say, oh, he doesn't play defense. Like, they ain't playing defense anyway. They lost their best defenders. Like, they're going to get timely stops. Let's get Melo in the league and let him go out on his own terms. I feel like whenever a guy's paid that much to the game and done that much for the game, he should be able to leave how he wants to leave. Once you're like 12, 14, 15 years and more, you should be able to leave how you want to leave. That's the way to do things. And Melo deserves to play. He did everything that was asked about him in the Lakers. Oh, he doesn't want to come off the bench. He did that. Oh, he's still shooting a high percentage from three. He did that. He averaged double figures. Let's let him go out the way he wants to go. He deserves to go out for a shot at the championship.
I mean, I think I'd love to see him play. The only reason why I don't think that'll happen is because they picked up TJ Warren and Ross, which were two solid. I don't think people are talking enough about those two pickups.
Yes.
When you add a Kevin Durant, and then you add, because my thing was they lost depth, you know, so before they got Terrence Ross, I could have seen Melo, although they're different positions. At the end of the day, they're scorers, you know, and Terrence Ross is a little younger. So I thought that would probably eat up, because I think, didn't CP say something about he wanted Melo?
Yeah.
So I think, you know, before the Terrence Ross had come, and again, even though they don't play the same position, they still do the same thing at the end of the day, that I thought that could have worked there. But I really like, you know, those two, Warren and Ross. I think they added more depth to their team. But I'm with you, Ma. I would love to see Melo get another chance. But it's just, I mean, similar. I mean, I wanted to see you get another chance at the end. You know what I mean? So it's just, it's weird that, you know, when you do so much work, you put so much work in it, this game really shows you that it's a business. It's,
man,
it's
I just not had some clips the other day online, and they called me the other day and said, would I come out for a 10-day? I said, no, I can't have it. Mess up my game, and I can't have it. I'm good now. I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nah. I mean, I would love to see Melo, you know, get another run, but it just it's a cold business at the end of the day. And we mentioned a couple guys that are probably on there, you know, that really are star, or, you know, that Russ, and, you know, this is kind of his last, you know, show and prove type situation. Cause the league, for some reason, it goes away from guys faster than guys want it to.
If a team called any of the three of you now, do you feel that you could go out and give them a 10 day?
If they gave me 3 weeks to get that 10 day, yeah, I can go out and give them what they need.
I'll tell you what. I'll give him a 10-day coaching job.
Yeah. I'll come watch practice for 10 days when I'm not working.
See, I knew Jamal was gonna be the only one who would say, yeah, I could give it.
They're both smarter than me, that's all. They're
no,
talking.
No, no, no. I've just heard Matt talk about his back, you know.
Yeah. Matt's a hell of a coach though. You gotta see him coach. I've been stealing from him for real, because I was so fired up. I was that rookie coach fired up, and now he didn't calm me down. He'd be so zen. Until they don't call a foul for Isaiah late when they should have got one. Then you see the real Matt.
Is this, fam?
That's it. Oh, okay. Right there.
I can't see you, but I got an idea because I'm in Seattle and I got an idea.
You don't need to see. You don't need to see.
I don't need to see him. I got an idea.
You don't need to see. You know exactly. It's all fine. Jamal, I just like knowing that you're the one who's going to carry all of us. We appreciate it. Let's go to On the Radar, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. We are in the final stretch, guys, the course of the season. DraftKings has odds in the West. This is so interesting. Who's going to participate in the play-in tournament? Lakers specifically, everyone's got their eyes there. They're at minus 110. And LeBron mentioned this in his All-Star press conference. He said, these upcoming 23 games, he called them some of the most important in my career. Mm-hmm. And then he paused for a second. He goes, regular season. but he did make the point that the Lakers haven't been making the playoffs. He does not see himself as a guy who sits out the playoffs for two seasons. What do you think, Matt? Where are you in terms of the Lakers actually making the play-in?
I think it's on AD's health. I think they can make the playoffs if AD's healthy. I think they made some solid moves. I think if you can say you can't go against AD and LeBron if AD is healthy, I think this team will, you know, come out of the play-in situation and into an actual playoff seed and you know, maybe win a game or two in the first round.
Yeah, I don't think, no disrespect, I just don't trust AD's health. I really don't. Not to carry that kind of load. Like, this team was built for him to be the guy, and it hasn't happened. Yep. We've seen incredible feats LeBron's doing. He's a one-of-one with how his longevity and durability is. But LeBron's supposed to be the guy who's setting AD up and taking over in the fourth quarter. We're using LeBron's juice first through 2 weeks. Like, he's going the whole everything. So, I feel like they won't make the play-in. I think out of the 23 games, they have to go like 17-6. In that home stretch, when you have teams jockeying between fourth position and 12th position, I just don't think it happens.
These games might be the most important. Might not be the most important to him for his career, but to a lot of people looking at his career, it is. Because for him to go two seasons without making the playoffs, that says a lot. You know, especially being in that Laker uniform, they expect greatness. You just broke the scoring record. And the last thing we expect is for LeBron James to not be in the playoffs, especially with a player like Anthony Davis on his team. That says a lot for them to not make the playoffs. So it's bigger than he's saying. I think in the back of his mind, he knows that they have to get in this playoffs. If they don't, a lot of people are going to be saying a lot of different things about him.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Welcome to season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. It is 2024, and we're going to get through this together, folks. My campaign promise to all of you here on Next Question is going to be a good time the whole time, we hope. I have some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring Kris Jenner, who's got some words of wisdom for me on being a good grandmother, or in her case, a good lovey.
You know, you start thinking of what you want your grandmother name to be. Like, are they going to call me grandma like I called my grandmother? So I got to choose my name, which is now Lovey.
I'll also be joined by Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, to name a few. So come on in and take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood.
I loved it. Your energy and joy.
I'm squeezing every minute I can for you out of this season of Next Question.
Last question, I promise. You have to go. I have to go. But it's been so fun, and I can't wait for you to hear it.
Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I mean, look, they're currently 27-32. They're in 13th place. if they don't make the postseason at all, if they don't even make the play-in, are we going to start hearing some whispers about whether LeBron stays with the team or not?
That's definitely coming.
That shouldn't even be important, Rach. We talking about Jordan and GOAT status. That's what he needs to be thinking about, not moving out of other teams. You are the leading scorer in NBA history. Now it's about winning. Now it's about carrying teams and separating yourself from a lot of these conversations. Not making the playoffs is not helping those conversations. Regardless where he goes, if he goes to another team, that really doesn't matter because he's continue to get older. For me, Rach, he's just trying to play with his son one year. If he doesn't win this year, I don't think winning the championship is going to be his focus, just playing with his son.
They're definitely not winning the championship this year.
No. playing with Bronny is going to be bigger than winning the championship.
Exactly. Oh, absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah. Absolutely.
There was two things to check off. All-time leading scorer, play with Bronny. Man, what can you say about a career like
right.
that?
I mean, I just think, you know, and we continue to say it, he's writing his ending right now. So, Jack, to your point, he's well aware, I think, what this means. I think he is downplaying, but I also think he's being open with you. Like, these next 23 are very important. Like, I can't miss the playoffs in this uniform 2 years in a row. So,
and
I mean,
he's done his part. Like, he's been unbelievable right. these last 3 years. It's just,
right.
it's sad because a player is so great. They need a better team around him.
Well, I just hope AD
we held Kobe at that same standard, though.
Oh, for sure. For sure. He's going to be held at that standard, but he's Jack. The man's averaging 30 points, 6 boards, right. 5 assists at 38. It still looked like he got juice left. He's still dunking like he's second year. I ain't say his first year, but like his second year still.
Thanks.
But, I mean, he's going to be looking at, say, Phoenix, and you've got that team, and who's stacked on that team. I mean, LeBron doesn't have a team around him like that.
Absolutely not.
No. But his thing, he has to get in the playoffs, though.
Just
like,
get there.
He may not be Phoenix, but you have to get in the playoffs.
Yeah, just get there. That's my thing. I think people are looking at him just to get there.
No, I know. I just meant in the summer. I just didn't know if his eye was going to start wandering to what other guys have that he doesn't have. But we'll see.
He knows. They have to tell him. Everything has to get told to Bron before everything else starts happening. He knows what's going on.
Yeah, they don't land. They don't possibly get a chance to land Kyrie this summer, Rach. Then we can talk about him bouncing.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens there. We got a legendary moments presented by Top Shot coming up now, guys. And Top Shot last week allowed users to pre-order a highlight reel from the dunk contest winner. That was a special commemorative moment. And bam, turned out to be a crazy in-demand moment. Users can still purchase theirs up until February 24th at 3 o'clock Eastern. Stack, of the dunk contest, what was sort of the best dunk Mac had to you, or what was sort of the best moment to you?
I think for me was his first dunk. Because a lot of people was anticipating what he was going to do. He's a little short white kid. Can he really jump? A lot of people ain't been watching Instagram or don't know too much about him. But that first dunk, Rachel, to line two people up, jump over him, grab the ball, tap the backboard, then dunk it backwards. I think that set the tone that Matt was here for real. And I was happy he was able to make it because a lot of guys, they missed that first dunk and they keep trying to make it and they don't get off to a good start. Matt nailed this first dunk and was able to win it.
Yeah, that first dunk was crazy. And I didn't know what he was going to do because if you think about it, he had those two come out and they were in a different position. Then when he got my man got on the other guy's shoulders and then he did what he did, I had to watch the replay. I didn't see the actual tap at first. But when he did that, I said, oh, this is 50. Sick. This is ridiculous. And he didn't miss a dunk.
Yeah.
Like, that's underrated. He didn't miss one of his dunks.
That's appreciated.
See, they give him multiple chances, but I don't know. As a judge, right, I would definitely rate a guy higher if he made the first one, not if he made, like, the fourth one.
Yeah, and exactly. And once I saw, you know, that he did it, I had to start saying 50 out loud so somebody wouldn't come out and try to give him a lower score. Like, oh, that's a 46. So I had to say 50. 50.
All right, how much collusion is there up there, though? How much collusion is there between the judges?
Well, see, I got criticized, but it wasn't much collusion, to be honest with you. I just saw what the temperament. They had to fill the room. And the end of the room was as cold as ice. I said, man, you deliver. That's deliver. Deliver. And I said, Nick, we got to hold it down because it was an average score. So we had to make sure the right person got the average score.
Well, Karl Malone said going into the dunk contest, he was not giving any charitable scoring. And he definitely had the whole time through. He had sort of the harshest critiques of everybody going through.
Yeah, he's done enough giving back.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Let me go ahead and look at my Lake Washington. When you start talking like
yeah,
that.
Here we look go.
Rate, save us. Come on, Hall of Famer, save us.
He's done enough.
You're asking me. I was going to say, this is a five alarm fire. You're asking me to come and hold down. Come on. All right. Here's what I'm going to say. Did you know that you can start your NBA Top Shot collection today at NBAtopshot.com? You can get closer than ever to the game and the players you love. Sign up today.
I never wanted to hear Top Shot so bad.
All right, guys, we got the Iverson Classic rosters just announced. We got DJ Wagner, Robert Dillingham, Justin Edwards. Several players from last year's game were projected lottery picks. Stack, this is your baby along with Mr. Allen Iverson, our greatest living American. How far has this tournament come in the past few years?
Man, Rach, I'm honored to say that I was been there from the start, man. You know, a lot of us played in the McDonald's game, and that was the biggest game coming up, but the this game is something that I wish I could have played in for a guy like Allen Iverson, a guy we look up to and admire so much, right? But this is definitely different than any All-Star game or high school game that I've been to when I was playing, Rach, because just of the events during the week, the hands-on, you have so many NBA players come in and give these guys advice about life, basketball, you go to the museum. I think what Bobby and Ja have built, along with Showtime coming on, I think it's been beautiful for the guys and for NBA players to get involved with young guys all and everybody get on the same page that week, wherever the game is, and this year is in Jersey. So shout out to everybody that's been involved in this game. Like you said, you got DJ Wagner and Robert Dillingham in the game. It's going to be real exciting. And also, it's a possibility that you might see a Jackson boy in the game.
Ooh.
Stay tuned.
Ooh. Well, I mean, can we expect Matt and Jamal? Can we expect you guys to come? Come on.
Yeah,
there's a Jackson boy.
Let me check my Palm Pilot.
Yeah, I need to be out there for that. I just saw AI at All-Star Weekend, and I turned into a little kid. Like, it don't matter what it is. Like, if I was a youngster coming up and I got invited to this game, I would have caught a Greyhound from Seattle to Memphis to get in that game. Like, this is AI and Stack and the crew. So there's no way I would have missed this.
We were watching some footage of Allen talking in the locker room before last year's Classic, and we're watching him, and he's giving this hype-up speech, and it's incredible, and the footage is still hanging in the air, and Matt Barnes goes, yeah, watch Ronald McDonald do that, huh?
No, Ronald can't give you the same gems as Chuck.
Ronald ain't doing that.
Ronald have a crossover.
No.
I just think also what makes this game dope is the guys that do come back out and like you said, Jack, really put their hands on these kids and help give them the game and show them the path and just a different way of thinking, unlike any other game. You know, it's a brotherhood. I unfortunately missed it the last 2 years, but I'll be out there this year. But nice. The way these older players come back and kind of are mentors over the weekend and kind of give these kids the game before they get to the game is, I think, what makes it special. So yeah. I'm excited for it. My Palm Pilot said I'm free, so I'm going to be out there, Jack.
You do not have a reliable Palm Pilot. Jamal, yeah. I'm so happy you could be here with us today. So Stack and Matt, which mall did we get? Which Jamal?
Jamals. We got mixtape mall, Rach. We got mixtape mall. But I'm telling you, this is definitely the funniest episode of What's Burning. Yeah. And this is why I can't be, because I really can't be a professional with Mall on the same.
I wish I was there with y'all. Hey, hold on. Can I ask y'all something for real? It's crazy. And I told Matt this. Man, y'all interview Will Smith, Magic Johnson, Charles Barkley.
Dude, right?
Like, to see where y'all have gone, like, this is, y'all are beyond even, I don't know if you thought you'd be interviewing Magic and the Will Smiths and everything. How do y'all feel? You too, specifically.
When the popcorn start popping, you taught me this a long time ago, Showtime. When that popcorn start popping, that smell gets you in game time. It gets you in game form.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's the same with this. You know, every opportunity we get, you know, me and you talk a lot, especially about, you and Baron Davis are two, and Matt, you, Baron Davis and Matt are three people that give me the most props of my game in basketball ever. I'm talking about when we played to now. So we've always had these conversations about not getting our just due. But to be in a situation, you know, to be able to be brought in this space by the GOAT, Rachel Nichols, to be able to be
what I built with
Matt in this space, it's been all a blessing, bro. So we just take advantage of opportunities because we don't always get them.
Yeah, no, I just think it's – we want to inspire and encourage. You know, I just think it's such amazing to see the wave of not just in podcasts, but just in media, period. Like, we can tell our own stories now, and we know how to articulate our thoughts, you know, to viewers. And I think there's an appreciation for that. So we just want to do our part to continue to do that, continue to inspire, continue to motivate, you know, continue to raise the bar and challenge each other, because I think this is a dope space with a lot of money in it, and we can all keep getting this money just like we're getting the money in the league.
And so, for you, Rach, for you, you being back, like, man, how's that
oh,
feel?
Oh, baby.
Yeah, how's that?
Oh, baby.
We all missed your voice. We all missed your presence. How you feeling? How you feeling?
Well, it's because I get to be back with you guys. I mean, it's funny. There's all kinds of people out there in the basketball space, right? But you want to talk about why Matt and Zach have been so successful and just skyrocketing up. It's because they're real, right? And that's what all Showtime Basketball has been. Like, you got people on here saying real shit. And that has been one of the most fun things for me to be back and kind of being able to talk about stuff, is that no one's giving presentations here on behalf of anyone or anything. Everyone's really talking what they feel, and I love that. And I love that's what this has kind of become, the space.
Jamal, name another show that Rachel could be hosting and someone could light a joint in the middle of the show and nothing happened to nobody.
Nothing happened.
Nothing
it's
happened to nobody.
It ain't frowned upon.
Nothing happens to nobody.
It ain't frowned upon. It's
celebrated. Fire that thing on that.
Now, we appreciate you, man. We look forward to having you back. You know, whenever you get some time. We know you're busy, but whenever you get some time, pop in on us.
This family, whenever. You already know.
Congrats to your new gig, too, bro. Doing big shit on TNT.
Yes,
man.
Sir.
I appreciate it, bro. I appreciate it. Watching y'all was inspiring. And Rachel saw something in all of us before, because she talked to me years ago when I wasn't even thinking about media. Like, you're going to be pretty good. And, you know, and she obviously had you guys. Like, so.
She got an eye for talent.
Yeah, without a doubt.
I'm a good talent scout. It's not hard. Y'all guys make it easy for sure. Well, Maul, we are requiring you to come back soon.
Thanks.
Everyone else out there, you can catch What's Burning every week on Showtime Basketball YouTube. And what else, Zach?
And on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, I show basketball.
Boom. He's got it.
He got it.
Good day, y'all.
You already know. Thank y'all. I appreciate it.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.